Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! We are off and running for this, the second day of February 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And, it would be better if I... there we go. Yep, okay. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. I forgot the third switch. Yeah, oh well. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, again, the second day of February, 2016, Groundhog Day, 2016, and I have absolutely no idea what or if the groundhog saw. Don't much care. We do know the one in Winnipeg apparently decided to absent himself from the festivities, you know, by dying. Right. And let me check in that chat menu. Okay. All right. We're rolling. Thank you, Carol. Thank you very kindly. Yeah, we are rolling for this second day of February 2016, otherwise known as the first day of the beginning of the actual Democratic nomination contest. I'm tickled today. Granted, I would be more happy, much more happy, had Bernie actually, you know, done more than a 50-50 split in some instances based on coin tosses, because democracy. Coin tosses? Really? Okay. And six coin tosses. Anybody, you know this, right? The business with the coin tosses in Iowa. You know what that immediately reminded me of? Because I'm a nerd. There is a play out there in which, who's the author? Tom Stoppard, I think. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is the name of the play. And it opens with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern flipping coins. And it always seems to come up the same way. That's what I got. Because that's it's a wonderful scene, the way that play begins. But never mind. We can talk about the results from Iowegia. If you wish, we might even have a call in from on the ground in the aftermath of what is now known as Forgotten Iowa. It's got to be a little, as much as I would love to participate in a caucus process, and I really would, I find that fascinating. And I'd be interested to know in the final tally, I didn't see it earlier today, what the overall turnout was. It's got to be a little bit frustrating to have a whole bunch of politicians crawling all over you, especially the Republican ones. I mean, when you've got Republican politicians crawling all over you, you've got a problem. One minute they love you, And the next minute, they're just gone and they leave you all sticky, broken, confused. This crops up periodically, too. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, noting, I had a Democrat suggest to me today that we should only have a few states more diverse and representative of America vote for the nominee. A fucking Democrat, a former DNC county chair in Colorado, suggested disenfranchising 80% of the states because places like Iowa don't matter. Record turnout in Iowa was 121,000. Last night, more than 181,000 showed up. That's phenomenal. Now, what's the breakout between Republicans and Democrats? Who showed up more? But it's a great day to feel the burn. And of course, the Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton camp declared victory before all the precincts were in, which was maybe atne ute aitbre, if you one what I mean may. But beyond that, she ditched, she shed, she lost an 8-point lead in Iowa to Bernie. And that tells me that America, to the extent that, yes, indeed, in fact, Iowa is representative of America to some degree, to one extent or another, that tells me that the Democratic part of America is not real excited about Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton and doesn't think that doing the same old, you know, build more prisons, that kind of thing, is going to, you know, kneecap the poor some more. Maybe we can bring back workhouses, county workhouses. Wouldn't that be cool? That's not going to cut it for the problems that we have. That she really doesn't have any interest in or solutions for bringing about an end to income inequality and everything that goes with it. And I'm not trashing Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. I'm not going to do that. But God almighty, do we not have any new ideas in this country? Well, yes, we do. And the person who's espousing them is Bernie Sanders. I mean, look, nobody made Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton be the centrist, center-right candidate that she so obviously is. Nobody foisted that upon her. Nobody compelled her to that. She chose that. Now we can suggest that she chose that because that's where the money is, or because those are the people she runs with. But she did. She chose that. And a lot of us don't want to choose that. A lot of us have, apart from being nominally, each of us being nominally human, I don't, and I suspect you don't, have a single blessed thing in common with, you know, a Wall Street hedge fund manager like, say, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's son-in-law. Or like her daughter, whose opening job at a hedge fund was, what's her salary? What's Chelsea's salary? Somewhere around $600,000 a year? I got nothing in common with that. I mean, granted, I know that the little tiny fork on the dinner table is not to be used to pick up individual peas from among the peas and carrots. It's a shrimp fork. It's an oyster fork. That much I got. But it doesn't go very much deeper than that. And so there were the recrimination express was rolling down the tracks today. the Hilarians complaining about the fact that Hillary is referred to as the establishment, which, you know, she is. They don't like that, and they don't like the fact that the Bernie people... Oh, hell, let's just cut to the chase. This is, after all, Titanic Tuesday. And I've got a piece here that I ran into not long before the program by a person by the name of Courtney Enlow. I got no clue who Courtney Enlow is, but she is apparently pissed with us. Pissed off at us. You know, in that universe where the us that she is pissed at is people who support Bernie Sanders. Because, God damn it, Hillary Clinton deserves to be president. But before she can be president, she deserves to be the Democratic nominee. Don't you understand? It is, as I said, Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And ordinarily, Titanic Tuesday is reserved for manifestations of right-wing intellect on a par with yelling, "Full steam ahead!" When somebody says, "Captain, there's an iceberg right in front of us." Yeah, it arises from that day many, many years ago now when the right-wing blatherer over in America's fifth smallest radio market took a call from somebody who said, "Steve, how come it is you reckon there is seashells in the rocks of West Virginia?" To which he replied, "Well, caller, that's the movement. That's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Only a lot more, with a lot more monotone than what I did there. No word yet on the movement of the Titanic kitty crayons and coloring book. No. But sometimes, Titanic Tuesday nominations extend past Republicans, and God knows, I got a stack of them miles deep. I really, really do. But we're going to begin with this one, and it's not Republicans. It's people pissed off with the rest of us for not getting on board and adoring Hillary. By the way, a little bit of this is what makes it so much fun to get behind this microphone every evening. The weird, obscure stuff that dances around my mind somehow manages to find out there among the packets that are passing hither, thither, and yon, somehow manages to find a sympathetic ear and a soul with whom I have something in common. A note coming from Jennifer in Australia. Rosencrantz, Trump, do you ever think of yourself as actually dead, lying in a box with the lid on it? Nor do I really. Silly to be depressed by it. I mean, one thinks of it like being alive in a box. One keeps forgetting to take into account that one is dead, which should make all the difference, shouldn't it? I mean, you'd never know you were in a box, would you? It would be just like you were asleep in a box. Not that I'd like to sleep in a box, mind you. Yeah, if you've never seen... And is it out there? Is it available for viewing somewhere? Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Do yourself a favor, or barring that, you can just do what I did and buy the book version, or perhaps the ebook version, of the script. My little community theater soul has wanted to do Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead for a very, very, very long time. yeah, not quite Jack in a Box, Devin. No. It's worth looking up. Oh, by the way, in terms of TV viewing, also, this being Tuesday, tonight is the second installment of the new series on WGN America, if you get it on your viewing system, whether it be cable, dish, whatever. It's at WGN. If you don't, the episode will be available for later viewing at WGNAmerica.com, WGN being kind of forward-thinking about putting these episodes up. The second episode of Outsiders. Outsiders. It is an entirely wholly fictional world that happens to be set in a fictional county in Kentucky called Crockett County, where a fictional family called the Farrells, F-A-R-R-E-L-L, get it, Farrells, get it, F-E-R-A-L, have lived for 200 years on a remote mountaintop, basically a force unto themselves, not mixing much with the folks down there in the holler, or in the valley, or whatever, in town, with their own code and their own strange sort of language and their own values and their own leadership structure and all of that. And eventually, conflict arises when a coal company shows up and decides that they want to blow up the mountain that the Farrells have been living on for 200 years and get sort of crossways with the Farrell clan. I found the first episode quite interesting and quite enjoyable, and I'm looking forward to the second episode this evening. And that's, what is it, eight or nine? Is it nine? Yeah, I think 9 Eastern time on WGN, and it'll air again at like midnight or something like that for the West Coast feed or re-air, and it's watchable online. So, you know, I like a good story. I enjoy a good yarn. And the good yarn that got off to a rousing start, apparently, one drinks the mountain wine, which is what they call it, and the Farrell clan are apparently able to quaff it like honeydew vine water. But it gets them town people really, really dangerously intoxicated. And it'll set you to doing the bear dance. Mm-hmm. One skip, a snort, and a fly. But no, check it out if you've got time. You'll definitely enjoy it. You don't have to watch it live. You can watch it online. I personally would like to see this this program get legs, because eventually it's going to, and it's real sneaky like this way. It's eventually going to teach America that while the Farrells aren't real, and while Crockett County, Kentucky, isn't real, that mountaintop removal most decidedly and assuredly is. So check it out, Outsiders, on Twitter, the handle is at Outsiders WGN. Maybe follow them. There's a whole bunch of really, really talented people involved in the on-screen production and behind the cameras and behind the cameras. It is it's well written, and like I said, the first episode was a lot of fun. And I expect the second episode to be the same, and it would be really neat if this thing went on for a little while. Let's see, from the Horn Research Department, otherwise known as Carol Baker, ABC News says 180,000 Republicans showed, 18,000 Republicans showed up last night, and 107. Whoa, oh, stop, no, okay, so there was a comma out of place, and that's what threw me. ABC News says 18,000 Republicans showed up last night and 171,000 Democrats. Carol says, first time I'd heard those numbers. Confirmed by Nate Silver's at Nate Silver at 538 blog. In a heavily Republican, fundamentalist Christian state, that's nothing short of stunning. Of course, Iowa is too white to matter, so well, there's that. Oh, I was right the first time. So it was 180,000 Republicans and 171,000 Democrats. That's still stunning. Amazing. So That actually is kind of a good thing. And just imagine that. Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton spent all those Wall Street millions to get a 50-50 split that in some cases depended on really kind of dodgy coin tosses. That's absolutely amazing. Positively stunning. Now, here's the next question. Since it's being explained... Oh, did I mention it's 20 minutes past the hour? I didn't mention. Like you don't know. This is a listener-supported program. We exist and are able to exist because we try to raise $200 every evening in whatever increments they come in. One at 200, two at 100, four at 50, eight at 25, 16 at 12, 50, 32 at 6 1/4, 64 at $3.13 because we round up that half a cent from 12, otherwise we wouldn't. But you get the idea. This is a listener-supported operation, pure and simple. Now, you know, if I ever hit that little old lottery jackpot, this will no longer be a listener-supported operation. But I'm not George Soros, and neither are you. But what y'all are doing is picking up George Soros's slack. You're keeping the horn going, while the limousine liberals and the cruise missile liberals, you know, don't. So you know, of course, that the interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. The mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. That's where Boss Man Wayne goes when it's time to pick up the mail, when he puts on his spider-proof gloves and reaches into the echo chamber to draw out the whatever is or is not there. So Boss Man Wayne loves getting mail and was mentioning that things have been kind of thin lately, and he would sincerely appreciate getting to send some stuff to the credit union once in a while from the mailbox. Because, you know, it just feels kind of fruitless when you go to the effort of going to the mailbox. There's nothing there. So, and remember, that's checks and money orders, not cash, because as much as we all like the U.S. Postal Service, apparently there are some sticky-fingered people working there. And then there are some people who apparently have rocks where their hands should be. So, anyway, going back to the displeasure of the Hilarians for all of us, particularly all of those Iowegians, who did not do as they were supposed to and bow down and coronate Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton because she must be coronated. Oh, wait. who the hell are you again? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Some evenings I get so... I'm so excited to get everything going and get on the air that I kind of forget all the little, you know, things, and I just want to jump right in and get broadcasting. But I am. I really am. And thank you for the reminder. Yep. So, as Carol says, it's a very good thing what happened last night. Center-left Iowa went 50-50 for Bernie. And the Hilarians don't like it one damn bit. I mean, they hate it. So now the latest argument is, and Carol experienced it today, I did as well. Well, you know, Iowa's so white. I mean, wait till we get to the more diverse states where people know better than to vote for Bernie Sanders. And you know, she owns the African American vote. Wait till then. Okay. Which leads to the question, if for some reason, say the South Carolina primary rolls around, and suddenly we've got another 50-50 split between Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton and Senator Sanders, what are they going to say then?
Well, that's South Carolina. You see, she has the smart African-American vote all sewed up. They're not in South Carolina.
Is it possible, and I'm just asking this question, because if we don't ask this now, you can bet your ass it's going to be asked in November. Is it possible that there are a whole lot of people in this country who just don't like Hillary Clinton? Now we know that there is a well-oiled machine that is banging on all 12 cylinders that has been running since 1991. That is well-funded by the right wing, and that is based on hysteria and paranoid, bizarre, weird-ass fringe right-wing theories, and that the people who buy into that foolishness, none of whom vote Democratic, absolutely love to hate Hillary Clinton. They despise her with the heat of a million emerging suns. But I've never experienced any of that over here on the so-called left. Ha! What left? I mean, maybe we've got finally got an emerging left of people who think, wait, what? You mean there are countries where kids get to go to college and they don't come out with $250,000 in debt that they won't be able to pay off until they're 65, if then? What? Really? We could do that here in America? Really? Cool. Is that something Hillary stands for? No, it's not. Never, ever? Oh, damn. Well, at least she believes in universal single-payer health care. What? No? Never ever? Oh. Well, at least we won't be bombing so many brown people. What? We will? Always? Oh. No, there's an emerging real left in this country, and it's being made up by a lot of young people whose country this actually is. Do we ever think about that? If you're over 40, and I'm not trying to be real grim about this, if you're over 40, you're at least half done under the most optimistic of circumstances in terms of statistics. The people with the greatest vested interest in the future of this country are the people who are actually going to live in it. That's not Hillary Clinton. That's not Bernie. It's not me. And for the vast majority of the Horn family community congregation, that's not us. It's the people who are coming up through high school, who are in college, who are finishing college, maybe grad school, maybe didn't go to college, maybe already started down the road of a brutal and arduous and labor-laden life. This is their country. And so when a Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton says, never ever, about universal single-payer health care, it is entirely the right of the young people to take their votes elsewhere. To say, Senator Sanders, who says, not never ever, but it'll happen when you decide to make it happen.
And that is the heart and soul of his so-called revolution. And I supported it. I support it without reservation. And it, no matter how hard the Hillary camp has tried, it is not white-centric. Bernie Sanders is now not out there advocating for free college tuition for the white kids. He's not out there saying we should have universal single-payer health care for the white people. And it's the same kind of sick, sorry, tawdry racial dynamics that the Clinton campaign was playing 8 years ago. Devin says, left? Left for Canada decades ago, you mean? Well, in some instances. And this is not entirely, I'm not trying to make this about, you know, just slamming Senator Clinton, but there are actual policy reasons for disagreeing with her and not thinking that, you know, for people, like people that I love, the little folks who are 8 and 7 and 5, that she is not what they need as the setup to their future. Martin O'Malley, by the way, is out of the race. He, who was at least talked about wanting to run this country entirely on sustainable energy by 2050, which may be entirely too late for those 8, 7, and 5-year-olds of whom I so adoringly speak. We don't have time in this country for tepidness, lukewarmness. You know, there's that verse in the Bible from Revelations where I reckon it's Jebus says, "I would that ye were hot or cold, but because ye are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit thee out of my mouth." And if we're not going to get busy on this now, when are we going to get to it? When are we going to finally begin being earnest about working towards single-payer health care? When are we finally going to be in earnest on about working for free college tuition for everybody for everybody in this country who wants to avail themselves of it? Nobody has to. It's not compulsory. But it should be there if people want it. Yeah, I think back to Bobby Kennedy. And Bobby Kennedy was quoting someone, and I can't remember whom at the moment. But it was Bobby Kennedy who declared, some see things as they are and ask why. I see things as they should be and ask why not. See, if Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton ever said that, she would be laughed out of the room. When Bernie says that, people understand that he is sincerely in earnest. Jennifer in Australia pointing out, come on down, Bob. We'll do a unisex version of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern in Oz. And continues, that's it. During an election, Bernie's small by comparison war chest represents millions of people, voters, and Clinton's top-heavy war chest represents 3 or 4 or 5, maybe, monster donors. The numbers. I'm feeling the burn, says Jennifer. You can, she continues, you can ask Romney what that kind of hate buys you. Likeability is a big deal, isn't it? Meanwhile, more numbers. 70% of the youth vote is for Sanders, Perrin, and they ain't all white. Ah, okay, thank you, Anatole. It was Robert Kennedy quoting George Bernard Shaw. That makes sense. So here then, oh, by the way, Barbie in Iowa. Hi, Barbie. It says, I want to see Trump by the farm in Iowa. Yeah, he said, I might buy a farm. It's huge. Because I guess that was the real upset. And, or at least if you read the four, pay attention to the for-profit media, it was all about Trump not winning Iowa. There's something about the Republican results, and we'll take this little diversion for a moment. There's something about the Republican results that smell of this way to the egress. You couple T-Rump not showing up for the last Republican pageant there in Iowa with the results yesterday, and you add in to that the Ted Cruz open and probably wildly illegal, although doing stuff illegally inside of elections. One of the possibly fatal flaws of our system is that there's never any consequences. You never get removed from the ballot for being caught cheating, like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time, got caught. And the rise of Rubio, and it begins to, I don't know, the musical accompaniment is somehow reminiscent of the tinny strains generated by a whorehouse piano. Yeah? Just feels a little fixy. But Barbie does say, I felt the burn last night. Yay, Iowa rocks. Damn, I'm so proud, Barbie. I'm not being facetious. I'm really proud. I'm proud of everybody in Iowa. And you know, to hear the Hilarians say it, apparently there are no people of color in Iowa at all. And if there are, they're not allowed to vote because, by God, if they were, they would have voted for Hillary. Because that's what they're supposed to do. She owns the black vote. Probably best not to say that. Because on the other hand, I've got... well, I got this. Let's run over to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, shall we?
Meanwhile, voting in the 2016 election gets underway in about 13 hours from right now in the form of the caucuses in Iowa. Not only is it the start of the voting, it's also the start of Black History Month. Today is February 1st.
Yep, welcome to February.
Okay, maybe Monday.
African Americans have overwhelmingly supported Democratic candidates for president. Is there a Republican candidate this year that could cut into that support?
Here to weigh in is the editor and publisher of the conservative Black Chick blog and the author of the new book called Con Job, How Democrats Gave Us Crime, Sanctuary Cities, Abortion, Profiteering, and Racial Division, Crystal Wright. Crystal.
Oh, that's got to be a real, 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 real humdinger of a read. With a title like that, you're surprised that the author isn't simply referred to as Black Ann Coulter.
So good morning to you.
Good morning.
I understand you're not confident that the Republicans would win a majority of the black vote, but there is one Republican candidate who you think the African Americans can identify with.
It's Donald Trump. You know,
Why is that? Many
people probably don't like me saying that because Donald Trump.
Oh, no, ma'am. It's not that nobody likes you saying that. It's that when you say that, you sort of out yourself as being dumber than wilted lettuce. Mm-hmm. But let's let her continue.
Actually, is the only person bothering to talk to black people and ask for their vote. He has a black spokesperson. You've seen her, Katrina Pearson. In his immigration plan, he talks about how deporting illegals is going to help black unemployment and create black jobs.
By the way, this from Carol. Oh, give Fox News a break, Bob. They successfully predicted Martin O'Malley would come in third.
Pander to Black Lives Matter. So he's the only one really talking to black voters, in my opinion, of the Republican side.
Well, and earlier last year, he tried to court about 100 African-American evangelical pastors, and it didn't end exactly the way that he wanted to. However, he has been quite outspoken about the Oscars and the lack of diversity. So I guess he has that going for him. On the other side of the aisle, let's talk Democrats. And you have a theory that they are...
Oh, she has a theory. Whenever an attack blonde on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda says to a woman who says she's black that she wants to hear the woman who says she's black offer an opinion about Democrats, well, that's your dog whistle. That's your cue to pick up the hockey puck and get a nice long strip of duct tape ready, because they're you might just hoot like a barn owl.
Essentially buying the African-American vote. What do you mean?
You know, I think it's so sad when it comes to the black vote. Blacks have shown a slavish support for the Democrat Party for over 50 years.
No, yes, she did. A slavish support for the Democrat Party. Not the Democratic Party, because she's using Newton... Dr. Professor Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, weasel speak, where you don't say Democratic Party, you have to say Democrat Party, because, see, that emphasizes the word rat on the end of the word. Yes, absolutely. Slavish.
Part of me wonders if the Republican Party should even bother asking for the black vote, because black Americans seem to like being political dummies. There's, you know, we're the only...
Yeah, absolutely. You see, that's the point. Her thesis here is that black people in America are so goddamn dumb that they won't vote for people who hate them, and that they will sell their vote in order to have... What? Because, I mean, there's not really that much left of anything resembling welfare in this country. That was kind of taken care of, dare I say it, back in the 90s when a certain white guy shook his knuckle at us and said, "The era of big government is over." And his wife was talking about super predators. Yeah, uh-huh. And we had to lock them all up, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, obviously, she's an idiot. Namely, Crystal Wright, otherwise known as Black Ann Coulter. Yeah, they vote all the... What I'm surprised by is she said, I wonder if Republicans should even try to get the black vote. I'm just surprised and a little bit gratified that she didn't say, I wonder if we ought to be letting them vote at all. Because, well, Ann Coulter once famously said that if it was up to her, she wouldn't let women vote. And what's not to love about having a Fox attack blonde doing some blacksplaining? Ah. Such is the glory of Titanic Tuesday. But as much as I don't want to, I'm going to get to that nomination that I mentioned earlier, and I really don't want to. But it's there, and it has to be addressed. This piece comes from something called Pajiba. Pajiba. Which describes itself as sweetened by mock and lightened by droll. Mock and droll. Got it? Yeah, isn't that clever? Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yep. And the author is someone by the name of Courtney Enlow. Okay. And it features a picture, the picture that goes with the piece features Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton and Amy Poehler and two women I don't recognize. And she starts out okay enough, Courtney Enlow does. As Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton have become head-to-head rivals, their denizens? Have begun attacking each other, the Democratic Party eating itself like a snake that loves science and Planned Parenthood, and things have gotten ugly. Okay, see, this is going to be really twee. For many of us, it's not simply politics as usual, it's very personal. For me, the backlash against Hillary Clinton feels very, very personal. And so she writes for a while. And then she says, so, since Hillary cannot yell, since by the virtue of being sane and not a white man, she is forced to be the biggest adult in the room, you're going to love this, just like Obama has had to for 8 goddamn years, I will yell for her. And then this post continues in all caps for a really long time. And I'm not going to yell it. I'm going to read it reasonably and rationally, and you can judge it for yourself. I will read it, dirty words included, because, well, we're not afraid of words here at the Horn. And while Courtney Enlow tries, here at the Horn, we have people who work in vulgar language, like Michelangelo worked in stone. Okay, so. But Courtney Enlow, typing in all caps, says, first and fucking foremost, cool, you like Bernie's wishes and dreams approach to politics. Free college for everyone and a goddamn pony. Yes, that sounds fucking wonderful, but do you think Hillary could even say those words without Fox News literally burying her alive in tampons and crucifixes? No, somebody actually strung those words. Yeah, infinite monkeys, infinite typewriters, and one of them's gonna write Hamlet. Yep. So we need to understand that that Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton actually does favor free college tuition, and she really does like and want universal single payer, but she can't say it because she's Hillary, and Fox News would be mean to her. You don't like, and again, Courtney Enlow is screaming here, typing in all caps. You don't like that she had certain now unacceptable policies back in the 90s? Hey, I get that shit seems like last week, but it was another goddamn world entirely. I get that we all think we're the universe's bestest humans, but most of this country just learned trans people exist like yesterday. Let's not pretend we've all been the most inclusive, progressive, super cool peeps for like 1,000 years now. What in the f*** is she saying? What about the people who did support LGBT rights back when, say, certain center-right Democrats who founded the Democratic Leadership Council didn't? What does it say about us? I mean, do we get to stand up and say, hey, we were right. We've been there all along. What about those of us who've known about universal single payer for quite some time and have really, really wanted it? What about those of us who actually were advocating for debt relief from student loans before we even got out of our 20s? Progressive means just that, progress. Shit that was a big goddamn deal at the time is not cool now. Progress, it's fucking swell. You don't like that she plays the game? That she has ties to the establishment? For one thing, that's how shit fucking gets done, by having ties to the establishment. For the other thing, the biggest thing, A woman doesn't get the fucking option not to play the game. Not now, not yet. We all wish things were different, but they don't become different while we're attacking the fucking person who can make that possible. I really do. I want to give Courtney Enlow a I want to give her a free scholarship to the Angry Indian Advanced Institute for creative swearing. But never mind. And these new Bernie versus Hillary memes, what the fuck are you even doing? And there are a couple of graphics that I'd never seen before until I saw this. Bernie or Hillary issue Star Wars. Bernie or Hillary issue Harry Potter. Seriously? That's your line? She's not cool enough? What the fuck do you people even want from her? Women have tried for years to have it all, and then we get yelled at for trying to have the impossible all, but then it's not good enough when we don't have the all. It's fucking bullshit. The day my husband told me he liked Bernie, he said, I mean, how great is it to have a president who just doesn't even care how his hair looks? And I exploded. Do you think there exists a world where a woman could even consider that? And I said, yes, look at Angela Merkel. And by the way, it was pretty obvious Golda Meir was not having her hair done every fucking day. But that's not in the part. And the most mind-blowing part, this isn't, because otherwise I have to scream. I have to read this like I'm semi-literate, because really, you want me to do that? No, I'm not going to scream this the way she is. And the most mind-blowing part, this isn't even coming from the GOP, because what I am seeing is the same thing we see with Obama, only on the more liberal end of the spectrum. People who would never consider themselves bigots in any way is one word, but just know there is something they don't care for about this person. They refuse to believe that something could be skin color or gender, but for very many of them, it absolutely fucking is. See, that's one of those parts where you have to learn about how to creative swear. She would have been much better to have said abso-fucking-lutely. But, you know, you gotta teach the children well and let them write thousand every flower drop rain something. Cause see, this is what is referred to in the highfalutin rhetorical text as a bullshit argument. I'm sorry, Carol Baker, who asks, can I buy a punctuation mark, Vanna? No, fresh out. Why do you expect people who support Hillary to have to use punctuation? God damn it. See, the people who... And I mean, that has been my experience. Okay, granted, we do have a problem on the Bernie side of things, and I tried to explain this to somebody a couple of days ago, and I guess I was a failure. But Senator Sanders is not slurring Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton over things like her hair or her appearance or her voice or, you know, in any of that garbage. As he repeatedly says, the differences between us are profound differences on matters of policy. I mean, Jesus, Hillary's argument to Iowans that if they didn't vote for her, that Bernie was going to come and blow their brains out in their sleep because he's a big gun guy, even that didn't work. No, on our side, we do have a problem, though. We've got people who refer to her as Shillery and Hitlery and have used some otherwise really, really ugly, nasty, vituperative invective. Which, incidentally, as supporters of Bernie has explicitly asked his
his partisans not to do. But, you know, working with progressives is not like herding cats. As I've said before, with an open can of little Friskies, you can lead a lot of cats in a single direction. No, this is butterfly wrangling, and there's so many little butterflies that want to flap away, going Hitlery, 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 Killery, Hitlery, Killery. But please understand, it is directly in contravention of what Bernie Sanders would like for you to be doing with your advocacy. Because that just pisses off the Hillary people. And maybe there are those among us who enjoy just pissing off the Hillary people. Could be. But ultimately, and I do want to remind people of this, sometime late this summer, we're all going to have to come together. And I hope to God it's not coming together doesn't mean that I have to get out the duct tape and the clothespin and the brown paper bag in preparation for when I have to go to the polls and vote for Hillary. But if that's how it plays out, that's what I'm going to do. My goal, however, is to reach across the aisle to all the Hillary people and say, come on. You were passionate supporters of your candidate, but she's lost now, and we've all got to get behind Bernie. That's what I want to do. That's the position I want to be in late summer this year. And no, as a matter of fact, this is not my Stephen Hawking reading voice. This is what it's like when you have to read all caps. I'm not saying there aren't reasons someone should dislike Hillary or prefer Bernie. That is fine, although she's already pretty much made it clear that it's not. That is your journey. But let's not pretend for a second that there would be this many issues with Hillary if she was a goddamn man. That's just not true. Jim Webb announced for the Democratic nomination, and I had issues right on out the door with Jim Webb. Even though he was supposed to be running for folks like me, you know, the born fighting Appalachian white Americans. Yeah. But, you know, he did. There were things like his support of coal, which, incidentally, Hillary Clinton was very supportive of during the 1990s when they were ramping up mountaintop removal in Appalachia. Mm-hmm. Or in 2008 when she actually came to West Virginia and somehow couldn't bring herself to say anything unkind about poisoning entire communities or blasting the oldest mountains on earth into smithereens or burying 2,000 miles of stream. Right. I mean, a little bit of projection going on there from Courtney, what's her name? What's her name again? Courtney Enlow. Yes, there would be this many issues with a goddamn man, ma'am. And if you come at me for even one goddamn second with a, you just like her because she's a woman, I will destroy you where you stand. Well, aren't we just the little progressive peacenik? I like her. I like her policies. I like her plans. I like what she stands for. I like that, commas, not periods. I like that she's grown and evolved as a human and politician. I like that she was, for many of us my age, one of our first role models of a smart, professional, kick-ass woman, and that she isn't afraid of the word feminist, and I'm sick of having to apologize for liking her, for having to qualify and see your side and respect your opinion when I fucking don't, and you fucking don't write back, I like her. As Carol notes, you know, not one of my issues with her have a damned thing to do with her gender. It's like Bernie supporters calling the Hillary fans anti-Semites. Yeah, that's just stupid. Because it is. I mean, look, let me be clear on this. I have no doubt, whatever, that if push comes to shove and this is how we wind up, well, Hillary Clinton, as the President of the United States, will be a quite competent and better than anything the Republicans are offering imperial administrator. Okay? Because that's what presidents are. Imperial administrators. They preside over an empire. So that means that the president is not just a president. Not in the 21st century. You know, this is not Thomas Jefferson, reclusive and reedy-voiced redhead that he was, ginger, you know, no soul, trying to warm his tootsies through woolen, through damp woolen socks, and the other pair drying by the fire in the White House. Okay. This is not that. God, what was the first budget for the Department of State of the United States was something on the order of $300. Again, this is not that. It is a... much more complex state, to say the very least. And that means that far more than the president, and even in the first days of the Republic, it wasn't just the president, there were advisors. But the presidency is as much about whom a president appoints as about whom the president is. And in point of fact, I was reminded of something the chorus says in Henry V. When describing the reign of Henry VI, who was crowned in infant bands at the age of 9 months, that so many advisors had the running of his kingdom that they broke it all to pieces. And that's part of the risk. And that's why it matters when Bernie Sanders says, there will not be a Secretary of the Treasury from Goldman Sachs. Huh? Well, you know, maybe Hillary won't appoint a Secretary of the Treasury from Goldman Sachs. Maybe he or she will come from AIG. You get the idea, though. And no, as much as I wish it was, Titanic intellect ain't done yet. Where were we? She's angry at us because she likes Hillary. And most of you like her policies and plans too because, A, they're basically fucking Obama. I wonder if Obama has anything to say about that. And B, they're not that fucking different than fucking Bernie. And
This is just one. This is just one straw man after another. No, it is not. Not that fucking different than fucking Bernie to say that we can't have free tuition. And the difference between we need universal single-payer health care and we are never, ever going to have single-payer health care, that's sort of a global difference. I mean, that's diametric if we're gonna get all Greeky word origin on it. This is basically Twitter right now. Hillary, college should be affordable. Twitter, establishment puppet, no better than GOP. Bernie, college should be affordable. Twitter, dead. See, that's just intellectually dishonest. Hillary probably does say college should be affordable. Every Republican says that too. I think. I mean, is there a Republican out there now that his partisans are screaming crucify them? Is there anybody out there screaming on behalf of Ted Cruz that no, college should not be affordable? It should be available only to the sons of Cuban immigrants who came to America with their money stuffed, their underwear stuffed with money. No, he said that. Who then sent their children to Princeton and Harvard and shit? Yeah, no. On the other hand, Bernie does say we need free tuition for college. Plain, simple, to the point. But Courtney Enlow continues screaming. And the thing is, I like Bernie. Everyone likes Bernie because crazy grandpa is totally electable, but crazy grandma never could be. But why do we have to hate her to show how much we love him? Socialist Jesus, take the fucking wheel. I can't, where, how do you even begin to, nothing. I mean, just nothing. Because, you know, Bernie's crazy. Wait a minute, I did that wrong. Crazy! All better now, yes. It is absolutely gut-wrenching that this badass, important woman has been diminished and written off and hated her whole career, her whole existence as a public figure. You like Bernie because he doesn't play the game, but for Hillary Rodham Clinton, for a woman, she has had no other choice. I don't notice Elizabeth Warren up there playing footsie with Goldman Sachs. It's just saying. Barbara Jordan. I think Barbara Jordan had a chance, had a choice, and she made it. Pat Schroeder. Mm-hmm. Pat Schroeder, yeah, definitely. But those who come after her might have a choice. So, yes, I'm emotional and I'm yelling because this is fucking emotional for me. I want a female president, and I want President Hillary Clinton. I want both of these things, but more than anything else, I want women to have an equal fucking fair shake. Again, assuming facts not in evidence, Your Honor. There's nothing that says that Bernie's out there. Income inequality? The equal value of labor? The fact is, he owns all these issues. And so Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's partisans are compelled to try to wrest the issues away from him however they may. Because, see, he's actually got the track record. He's been talking about it. Why can somebody explain this to me? And again, this is not an anti-Hillary thing. I just want to know, why is it that Hillary has to Hillary gets credit for evolving on stuff, but the Hillarians won't give Bernie credit for having gotten it right from jump? That's the part I don't understand. Yeah, Carol, I think that may be how we wind up understanding all this. Courtney Enloe closes. Yes, I'm emotional, and yes, I'm yelling because this is fucking emotional for me. Okay, we want. Okay, so fuck everything. I'm with her. Thank you for your time. Excuse me while I nope out, and apparently that's while I nope out of the comments for all eternity. You know what? I feel like I should probably, I'm going to bookmark that. And of course, there were oodles and oodles of people saying, thank you for writing this. This so desperately needed to be said. Well, actually, it kind of didn't, but, well, whatever. No, that is how we categorize this. Carol pointing out, friends don't let friends blog drunk. Precisely. And I got one more. I've over filibobstered, but you know, filibobsters can be limitless, and we have to take that into account. I have over filibobstered, but I got one more because it kind of fits there with Courtney Enloe. You're not gonna like this. I didn't like this. It is discouraging when people for whom we have had real respect turn out to be, and once again, I'm compelled to search for the right word. Let's see.
You dick!
Yeah, that. I remember a long, long time ago when, after the Beckerhead called him a commie, the Obama administration threw Van Jones under the bus. And there were a string of people who got thrown under the bus. Shirley Sherrod comes to mind. Jennifer responding, wow, Courtney, you're a little bit dumb as a little box of doorknobs. Sorry. By the way, some of us marched in LGBT rights parades when we were children, long before the letters LGBT became a term, with our trans babysitters. Yeah, Courtney, some people long before you got your keyboard knew shit. And by the way, this was all happening round about the same time Hillary Rodham was a Goldwater campaigner. And Courtney, I will fill in my absentee ballot for Clinton if I have to. So buck it up, Courtney, and stop taking sides like a high school mean girl. Grow up, Courtney. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Jennifer. No, I remember when Van Jones got thrown under the bus, and I thought it was pretty disgusting. Because back, 8 years or so ago, Van Jones was really something special. He was talking about things that mattered. And he was talking about them in ways that other people weren't. I remember being at Power Shift in, 2009 or 2011. And I was backstage there, and we were broadcasting it. And in a brilliant merger between ideas of environmental justice and social justice, Van Jones said, we can advocate for all the sustainable, renewable energy in the world that we want. But if we don't change the way that we approach the world, and I'm paraphrasing, we'll be fighting the next war over the lithium reserves to fuel the batteries on our renewable, sustainable tanks. And I kind of, whoa, yeah. Well, a few years go by, 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever. And you get this, courtesy of CNN.
welcome. My apologies in advance if we have to pivot away and go back to New Hampshire. But Van Jones.
I won't mind. I won't mind.
You won't take offense? Okay, thank you. Van, let me begin with you. Listen, on the Democratic side, there's sort of like two schools of thought. The fact that you look at Iowa, Bernie Rose, you know, he almost beat Hillary Clinton in Iowa, or the fact that there really was this massive voter turnout, all kinds of young people, and still he lost. Which camp are you in?
Well, I'm in the camp that says anybody who is a 79,000-year-old Muppet-looking socialist who comes within. Because I love Bernie Sanders. Anybody like that who comes within a hair of beating the Clintons, that lets you know there's something going on just beyond the candidate. There was a real youth rebellion.
There was a youth rebellion. I get that. Yeah. 79,000-year-old Muppet-looking socialist. I'm sure that won't be used if he's the nominee. Now, in terms of the double standard that Courtney Enloe was decrying and screaming on the keyboard about, can you imagine what would happen to any so-called pundit who said something like, perhaps, Miss Piggy's shrill shrieking voice is positively sweet and demure compared to Hillary Clinton's. Now, I'm not saying that. I don't think that. This is an example. Can you imagine? Well, that person would never be invited back on air unless it was as like, you know, Ann Coulter or Black Ann Coulter over on Fox, at which point they would just get a new contract, you know, double the money. But CNN, MSNBC, etc., if you made a comparison about Hillary Clinton like what Van Jones did about Bernie Sanders, you would not be asked back. Nuh-uh, not no how, no way. So, yes, I have over-filibobstered, but the phone lines are open. Area code 304-574-8178, or Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, from anywhere on the planet. And then there's the stress line, 304-663-4676. For some, it works. For some, not so much. Don't know why, but that's how it goes. So jump in, and again, we try to raise $200 every evening, and thus far we are at 18 minutes past 7 p.m., an hour and 18 minutes into the program, we are at zero. It is Tuesday. That means we've got the Green News Report. Yay! And so we'll be back. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016.
No subsidies for oil and gas, no subsidies for anyone.
Ted Cruz promises to eliminate all energy subsidies. But there's a catch.
When I am president of the United States of America, there will never be any cap and trade in the United States.
Marco Rubio was for climate action before he was against it. Crashing oil prices blow a $1 billion hole in North Dakota's budget. Plus, bad news for salmon, but good news for solar in California.
All of that good and bad news straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Putin is a one-horse country.
He is?
Oil and energy.
Okay, then. Man, am I going to miss Ben Carson. Has he quit yet? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, is it my imagination or were the Republican candidates actually asked about energy and climate change at their recent Republican debate?
It was not your imagination.
What?
It actually happened at the 7th Republican 2016 presidential primary debate held in Iowa. Climate change actually got a mention.
Unbelievable.
I know. Fox News debate moderator Bret Baier challenged Florida Senator Marco Rubio on his record, noting that he was for climate change action and renewable energy before he was against it once he got to the U.S. Senate.
In 2008, you wanted Florida to get ahead of other states and establish a cap and trade system. Now you're a skeptic of climate change science. So why the change?
I do not believe that we have to destroy our economy in order to protect our environment. And especially with these programs are asking us to pass that will do nothing to help the environment, but will be devastating for our economy. When I am president of the United States of America, there will never be any cap and trade in the United States.
That, of course, is kind of completely the opposite of what he used to say back in 2006 or so.
And of course, it's completely blind to reality. The renewable energy sector is booming and now employs more Americans than the fossil fuel extraction industries. Also in that debate, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas tried to deflect criticism that he opposes the federal renewable fuel standard, which requires the use of U.S.-grown corn ethanol in gasoline. And it brings massive agriculture subsidies that are very popular in corn-based Iowa. Cruz says he just wants to remove all subsidies for all energy.
My tax plan eliminates every mandate, every subsidy, so there's no subsidies for oil and gas, no subsidies for anyone. I'm committed to a fair and level playing field for every energy source without lobbyists and without Washington picking winners and losers.
Now, that might sound plausible, but there's a catch. As Ted Cruz well knows, Republicans hold the majority in Congress, and they will never repeal the billions in annual taxpayer subsidies that the fossil fuel industry receives every year.
Not to mention, of course, that even if they did cancel the subsidies for oil and gas, the fossil fuels, it would still leave the fossil fuels way ahead in the game over renewable energy, because the oil industry and the coal industry, for example, have had about 100 extra years of subsidies. So even if you stop right now subsidizing everyone, you are still picking winners and losers, despite what these Republicans tell you.
And now in North Dakota, heavy reliance on oil and gas for revenue has blown a $1 billion hole in the state's budget now that global oil prices have crashed, in part caused by overproduction in the U.S. North Dakota's Republican Governor Jack Dalrymple on Monday ordered steep cuts to all state agencies, which won't help North Dakota's rural communities who now have to contend with the bust after the oil boom.
Live by the dirty fossil fuels, die by the dirty fossil fuels.
Meanwhile, bad news for California salmon. Despite extraordinary efforts from state and federal wildlife officials, only 3% of juvenile endangered California Chinook salmon survived to return to their spawning grounds in 2015. That's according to the National Marine Fisheries Service, which said the juvenile salmon were literally cooked to death in the hotter-than-normal Sacramento River amid California's record drought and record heat.
Wow.
But some good news for California solar. Remember, we reported a few weeks ago how the solar industry is leaving Nevada after Nevada's Public Utility Commission voted to hike charges and fees for solar owners. But now in California, the State Public Utility Commission has now voted to maintain California's current policy of net metering, which pays rooftop solar homeowners retail prices for excess energy they sell back to the grid.
So Nevada Republicans have regulated the solar industry out of business in Nevada, but California Democrats are allowing private businesses to succeed as they like.
Which is why California has the biggest solar industry in the United States.
And why Republicans who claim they are against big government regulations and against picking winners and losers are lying to you. For much more on all of our stories today and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
It's all in the air. You hear it everywhere. No matter what you do, it's gonna grab a hold on you. California soul.
Well, we are almost at the exact halfway point of tonight's Titanic Tuesday broadcast. And, well, thanks go out to the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan who got us started this evening. Thank you very kindly, Diane. We have only $150 to go now to complete this evening's fundraising. Thank you. And remember, we were successful in January. The Beat the Swede Every Month Challenge is on. Every month that we finish with fully fundraised for any given month, our buddy Scott in Sweden will chip in an extra little sweetener. Started with 50 in January. If we do February right, it'll be 60. March, 70. April, 80. May, 90. June, 100. Like that, all the way to December. So that's a pretty huge incentive. And again, thank you to the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan, and thank you to all our subscribers. Wow, I just realized. Yeah, okay, so actually we've only got $110 to go. $110 to go to finish fundraising for this evening. So that's pretty impressive indeed. There was some mention of mumbling Ben, who will cut you, or at least beat you with a hammer, in the Green News Report there via Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. One gets the idea that there is some political rapprochement taking place. Statement on behalf of Dr. Ben Carson, re-Senator Cruz's apology for campaign caucus tactics. You know, the business. Voting violation! Those mailers that went out for which he will not be punished, and apparently there is no criminal penalty. Dr. Carson has accepted Senator Cruz's apology issued earlier this afternoon, said a Larry Ross, not the Larry Ross, just a Larry Ross, communications director for Ben Carson for president 2016. These dirty tricks, political tactics, are part of the reason Dr. Carson got into this race and reflect the Washington values of win at all cost, regardless of the damage to the country, which he is trying to change, because we're not a one-Putin country. This incident further demonstrates that we need an individual who is not a politician to lead and to heal our nation, not someone driven by ambition. We need someone who's answered the call at 2 o'clock in the morning to come and do brain surgery. Dr. Carson will continue to work tirelessly toward reforming the system, restoring faith in the integrity of the electoral process, and giving government back to we the people. He invites Senator Cruz and all the candidates who profess to reject politics as usual to join him in conducting a Putin-free race worthy of American ideals and respectful of the American people. He is looking forward to continuing his campaign in New Hampshire, South Carolina, and beyond. Yeah, so what that means is that Ben Carson will be bowing out of the race post-haste, and that he's gotten something in the way of a sweetener from Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. Mm-hmm. And I know I use that a lot, but I've explained why I use the whole Rafaelito a long time. It's a verbal cue, and it's how spoken word memory works. among other, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, you know, I hate Marco Polo more than I do Tail Gunner Ted. At least I know that Ted is a good old-fashioned fascist. Rubio is just a short weasel, a punk. Let's take it easy on the punks there, okay? Punks are people, too. Little Marco is not. He's just an ambitious shit weasel. Yes, right. Mm-hmm. In high heeled sneakers. That's good. Steve in New York says, "You know, I look forward to uttering these words, President Muppet." How you like your 79,000-year-old Muppet now, Van? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A few things rolling in via the email bag. Ron with a couple of notes. Ron and Raleigh. First of all, in regard to Crystal What's-Her-Name, otherwise known as Black Ann Coulter, Ron says, Crystal's just getting in on the grift. Money is money, after all. And then adds, in regard to minority Iowans, NPR had a story about black voters in Iowa yesterday. A black minister said, when folks come to Iowa, they expect to see corn, cows, and white people. Ron says, I couldn't stop laughing for 5 minutes. But, you know, they really do exist. Mm-hmm. And, it'll be interesting to see how the vote broke for between Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton and Senator Sanders in that community. Jack in Shreveport says, you know, when people ridicule Bernie for calling for a revolution, just think about what happened and at the beginning and after the Reagan Revolution and what's been happening ever since. Yeah, it's okay to talk about a Reagan Revolution or a Republican Revolution, because that means it's going to be good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and white. Yes. And by the way, Steve points out, Bernie's supporters are being characterized as insurgents. Yeah, insurgents. But, you know, Courtney Enlow is all, you know, pissed off. Oh, let's see, what else? Agnes, from her secure, undisclosed location here in the mansion, merely said of Courtney Enlow, whom she referred to as Crazy Hillary Woman, I can hear ice clinking in her post. Which kind of goes hand in hand with what Carol said about friends don't let friends blog drunk. Yeah, some of those you just want to let marinate overnight until the gin blossoms go down. Oh, I mentioned a few minutes ago, or at the beginning of the program, I mentioned Outsiders over on WGN. No, we are not getting paid for sharing that or talking about this. I just find it interesting. Outsiders premiere, and this is a good thing, courtesy of Agnes. Outsiders premiere logs record ratings in L+3 for WGN America. Logged 3 to 9 million total viewers in Live+3. Making it the most watched episode of original programming ever for the network. Including encores during its premiere week, Outsiders drew 5.5 million total viewers, according to WGN America. So good for them. Good for them. I hope the momentum continues. Yeah, let's run over to the phones and check in with Jim out in Nevadistan. What's happening, Jim?
Not much, Bob. Actually, I'm back in Louisiana. It's been for a while.
Well, you know what? I was going to suggest that perhaps you do that. You know why?
What the flooding or something?
No. No, no. There's actually good news out of Louisiana, Stan. And it's been so long since there was good news out of Louisiana, Stan, that it damned well merits mention. You know, y'all got a new governor, John Bel Edwards.
Yeah.
Who insisted on dealing in realistic terms with the great big stinking pile of mess that Piyush Jindal turned Louisiana into. And guess what? One of the first things that he did, and this is big. I mean, this is really huge for the rest of the South.
What was that?
Expanded Medicaid is coming to Louisiana, Stan.
Oh, wow.
No matter how much the little wing nuts hop up and down and scream and be the weird little flying monkey bats that they are, the citizens of Louisiana are getting expanded Medicaid. And I'm just proud as punch for John Bel Edwards for doing that.
Yeah.
He said he wants to have expanded Medicaid health insurance cards in thousands more people's hands by July 1st.
Wow.
He said 250 new health department workers will have to be hired to handle the enrollment. Of course, this will mean that there's a lot more money going into the healthcare system for various and sundry providers in Louisiana. I mean, that's one of the things that these goddamn Republicans don't even begin to comprehend, and that is that the Medicaid expansion is an economic force multiplier. So if you stick around down there, Jim, you and others are going to have expanded Medicare, which is the closest this country has to offer to universal single payer outside of Medicare itself.
Yeah, I heard about this new governor. I've been kind of impressed. I don't keep up with a lot of the local, although I will start watching that. And I was curious because I heard we got a new governor, especially after the poor performance of that Yahoo Jindal. I think he served two terms. I mean, I hate when, you know, Louisiana did it, but I mean, the country did it with Bush. I mean, even though he stole both elections, he stole 2000 and 2004. And it's my argument, it shouldn't have been that close for him to steal, but I mean, ergo, that's why if Hillary does get the nomination, I will support Hillary. But that's not really what I called. What I called was, what was her name? Courtney?
Yeah, Courtney Enloe.
You just did that. You did that great. I mean, you pointed out all the flaws in.
Oh, I didn't get to half the flaws, Jim.
I know, but I consider the fact that, you know, you've got a 3-hour show, you got to save some time for callers and other things, too. But, I mean, you hit it out of the park. I mean, it was just that self-deprecating, it's kind of like a pity party. It's kind of like the whole, it's like last night on Twitter, I noticed a couple of tweets, people, you know, the Hillary, and a lot of people, most people I follow, or most people I get tweets from, they are on Twitter. I mean, they're more the Bernie type, you know. I notice, I guess it depends on who I follow, so it gravitates more towards that. I guess that's the way Twitter works to some extent. It's, you know, I just wanted to say, well, they were kind of bitter, you know. And then I was kind of tweeting back and forth with this one guy, and we tweeted before, and he's like, well, you know, wait, Hillary didn't lose. I'm like, dude, 40... In so many words, she did lose, and we kind of tweeted back and forth, but he's kind of like, I guess he was a hardcore Hillary supporter. I just found it kind of weird, this Hillary's got a win syndrome, like, oh, it's a woman's turn, and I find that with women, not all women, some women seem to think that, okay, we had a black man, that's time for a woman, and I think that's the total wrong approach. I mean, if anything would stereotype, quote unquote, the left, or the other word I don't really like, the liberal, it's somebody's turn. I think it's whoever's the most qualified. And I think Bernie, by light years, is the most qualified.
Yeah, well, without a doubt, I do too. As Jennifer pointed out, Jim, Courtney's a little bit sexist. Only a woman can support women? Hmm, you know?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, isn't it, and maybe if I get pushback from this, it's okay. You know, I'm willing to learn. But isn't it a little bit sexist to say that it's a woman's turn to be president? Doesn't the idea of a turn imply some sort of, maybe it isn't.
No, that's exactly it, because basically it's not too many, you don't have to move too many pieces of the puzzle to say, to change it back to only men can govern, kind of, only white men can govern, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yes, I do.
I mean, that's what I find upsetting about it. And I think, granted, Hillary, last I heard, only had a head. But this came out late last night, you know, I guess, when it started appearing that these dirty tricks, and he's got a little, maybe not full-blown dirty tricks, but these little, they're borderline dirty tricks, what they were pulling, from what I understand, like not letting one precinct report their votes or something like that. I mean, so many things are coming out. It's just, you know, and it's just more the, you know, just because she's got a woman. I mean, I would love to vote for the socialist.
This prompts, this is something that I've thought about from time to time, and you've reminded me of it, Jim. When the Clintons first came into office in 1992, I mean, I don't think Bill and Hillary had changed into their work clothes from their inaugurating clothes before Flush Flimball was screaming, "My friends, that woman wants to be president. She wants to be dictator. She wants to lord it over all of us." Where did that come from? Nobody ever said that about Lady Bird Johnson. Nobody ever said that about Pat Nixon or Betty Ford or Rosalind Carter or Nancy Reagan or God knows the love child of the Quaker Oats man, Barbara Bush. How did that get legs? Where did it come from? I mean, is it because she was a woman who had a job? An actual, real, yeah. No-kidding job?
I think that was it. And then also she had the audacity to, quote-unquote, try and get the health care situation fixed, which she failed at, which was doomed to fail. It's, you know, corporate America is doing everything they can to even the Obama health care, trying to wreck that, sabotage that. And hopefully Bernie can take the next step and get us to single payer, which is the only logical, sensible next step. I mean, unless we want to go down to the third world level, which I know a lot of Republicans love to see.
Well, that much is absolutely true.
But
since when did you decamp from Nevada?
Only a week.
So are you back in Louisiana, you know, to stick around for a while, or are you just visiting, or?
For a while. I haven't gotten that lifestyle of the rich and famous, moving on, I'll just be traveling.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here for a while, you know, I'm up to 81, and, stick here for a while and like go ahead. I think there's a Louisiana, right? I think it's a caucus. I think it's coming up. So I got to check my registration out here. Because I checked that. I think that's coming up. And then, that's what's going on. But besides the rich and infamous and not so famous.
And believe me, I understand. But you are, at the very least, back in the land of better food. I mean, Jesus, peanut butter and crackers are better in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have a lot of fancy restaurants and stuff like that. That takes a lot of money.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, and, you know, I guess there's some, well, I know for a fact there's at least one really good burrito stand somewhere out in Las Vegas, because I will never forget that breakfast burrito that was brought to me. Tony in Vegas brought me that. Wow, it was good. It took me the better part of a whole day to eat the damn thing. It was freaking huge. So no, there's good food out there, but yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, maybe it's just the way that my soul's turned, but a right and proper muffaletta from Central Grocery, nothing like it.
Yeah, oh yeah. And then you got Body Grip coming up.
So well, yeah, you picked the wrong time to come home, Jim. I mean, doesn't the entire state of Louisiana leave Louisiana during Mardi Gras?
Pretty much. It's like once you get... It's Orleans Parish is pretty much all clear in Jefferson. But once you get... And in different parts kind of celebrated to a limited extent.
I mean, it's kind of like when the Olympics come to a city. You know, everybody, oh, the Olympics are coming, but nobody wants the Olympics. And then everybody who has to live in the town where the Olympics is just decides to rent their house out for 2 weeks and goes on vacation or goes somewhere just to be as far the hell away from the Olympics as they can possibly get. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, I've never done... I've never done Mardi Gras in New Orleans. I've seen Mardi Gras in Mobile, which is where Mardi Gras was invented, by the way, at least in the Northern Hemisphere.
I haven't been to Mardi Gras in 15 years, or maybe 20. I don't know. It's after you kind of reach a certain, at least for me, I never thought it would happen. You just kind of like, it's fun to party and all that, but so it almost gets to be like it's forced fun. You know, and then there's the money aspect, because even Mardi Gras, they call it the greatest free show on earth. You could walk around and party down in the first quarter, but you're going to be drinking and eating. They're not giving food away. They're not giving drinks away. Everything's, you got to have money. You know, you can easily spend $100, $200. Easy. You know, and that's not even good. Well, they quote it to, I guess, illegal things, but. It is buying beer and whatever your poison is. Because, the people who get up early to put the beer and the food out, they're not doing it because they like you. They're doing it, why should they? They're doing it to make money. I mean, I'm not a total, I've been influenced greatly by the great Bernie Sanders, but there's still a little bit of a capitalist in me,
Indeed. Indeed. So. Well, Jim, I'm wherever you choose to be, I'm glad you're there, and I'm always glad to hear from you, as is the entire Horn Family Commune congregation. And well, we just hope for you to be well and keep Jimming on, and give me a holler when the spirit moves you.
Okay. Well, my next destination's. Is it song Destinations Unknown? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, got
Can't
it.
Do the song reference. All right.
Have a good one, Jim. Take care.
All right.
Bye now. Back home in Louisiana, Stan, where he belongs, where they will probably have expanded Medicaid by July 1st. Now, I mean, they're being realistic about it. The incoming health secretary in Louisiana, Stan, says that about 300,000 people, mainly the working poor. Can you imagine what, I mean, it really does make a difference, will be enrolled for Medicaid under the expansion. They say they probably won't be able to have all 300,000 registered by July 1st, but they're going to make a determined effort to do it. Now, this is not to say that the Louisiana legislature won't pitch a blue polka dot, purple polka-dotted blue scream and hissy and kitten, have kittens with crocheted tails over it, but it could be that John Bel Edwards can make them deal with it. And see, once the, and here's the fun part. Once the billions start flowing, and it is billions, once the billions start flowing, unless your electorate turns out to be as stupid as the voters in, say, the Commonwealth of Kentucky stand, sorry, Corey, then you're going to want to keep it. Because, see, at no point in time, under the Affordable Care Act, at no point in time does the state's contribution to the Medicaid expansion exceed 10%. That's minimal. And it's not going to wreck anybody's budget. Not by a long shot. So congratulations, of all places, to Louisiana Stan, who brained up and got themselves a governor who was actually willing to give a damn about the working poor, which is a significant demographic, to say the very least, in that state. Jennifer asks, John Bel Edwards, how old is he? Southern Democratic nominee for president in 2024? A lot can happen between now and then, but how about 2020? No, 2024. You're right. You're right. What am I thinking? 2024. And Jennifer adds, furthermore, it is not just sexist. It is stupid to resent Bernie for being white-haired, Van Jones. I don't want a woman to be president because she's a woman. I want her to be president because she has policies for us all. Yeah, there's that. Jennifer had added earlier, I adore it when you say what I'm thinking. Why does Hillary get kudos for evolving when it pays, but none for Bernie, who didn't need to evolve? As I said, thank you, Bob. Well, thank you, Jennifer. In regard to Marco Polo, little Marco, Jennifer says, ambitious shit weasels are too stupid to hide their crimes. Poor little four-year-old Mr. Polo has so many stupid, greedy mistakes scattered clumsily about that he's fairly tripping over them in his high-heeled sneakers. I dare them. I dare the GOP to let him run. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the way. But look, remember, Jebbia still has more money than everybody but Trump. And so he's not, you know, that paltry 3% last night. God only knows what he'll poll in New Hampshire. But he doesn't have to win anything. All he has to do is hang around until the Republican National Committee gets around to holding their little clavern and then say, you know, come on, people, really? I'm a Bush. I mean, this is the way it works in Jebbia's privileged mind. Please, I'm a Bush. I was born to this. Hillary thinks she deserves the Democratic nomination? I goddamned well deserve the Republican nomination. Did I mention I'm a Bush? And so, you know, the thinking is that he'll hang around for a brokered convention, and if it's at all close, if Trump is getting anything, and he and Turd Cruz are back and forth, neck and neck, nip and tuck, then on maybe the second or third or 55th ballot, they'll turn and say, Jebbia Bush, help us, Jebbia Bush. You're our only hope. Yeah, I know. It's annoying, to say the very least, isn't it? I've got a note coming in from somebody from somewhere. That all caps piece hit a nerve. And then the I'm going to nope out, was that how it was written? Yes, I'm going to nope out of the comments forever. Just made alarm bells go off for me. There was a strikingly similar piece that came across my newsfeed last night, different blogger, that just had my head spinning. Oh, and by the way, that piece, I saw it on my Facebook feed being commented by people who are hilarians, who are saying, yes, yes, thank you for saying this from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Somebody from somewhere continues, it was from a blog self-described repeatedly as a safe space and an advanced feminist space. I should probably not do the stupid voice with that. As a safe space and an advanced feminist space, I'm not making fun, says somebody. Apparently it is inherently misogynistic and dehumanizing when Sanders and his supporters attack Clinton, attack in quotes, by calling her part of the, in quotes, establishment. Don't make me explain, please. I won't. We get it. Now, honestly, somebody says, I tried my best to be open-minded, thinking perhaps I'm not as well-versed in advanced feminist theory as I ought to be. That's no snark intended. But aside from a point or two worth examining or pondering, I thought the premise was a bit of a stretch. A very fucking frustrating stretch. And then the nopes. So perplexed was I by the piece and the thought process behind it, and trying hard to understand why someone that I respect would share this, that I started going through the comments. Big mistake. Big mistake. There were a few assholes who were probably out of their league. Let's call them Bernie bros. Fine. Whatever. As you said, they're a real problem, although they ain't all bros, and I do try to push back against them. But even when the author's contrived premise was challenged in a civil manner by women, feminist women, but apparently not the right kind of feminists, the author would shut them down by either declaring that the person did not have a sufficient understanding of Feminism 101, or by simply saying, nope. That would be her entire rebuttal, nope. I thought the nopes were quite childish and catty. I'm probably a misogynist for saying so. And then when I heard you say the author of the strikingly similar piece that you read ended with the line, I'm going to nope out of the comments forever, I just thought, aha, that must be a thing in certain corners of the internet. Perhaps before the creative cussing class, some of these bloggers should take debate. By God, Bob, now we're all misogynists. Big fucking sigh. Sincerely frustrated, somebody from somewhere. P.S. I deliberately didn't provide the link, trying to spare you the headache. And, well, somebody, you must certainly be aware of the fact that I am low on rot gut tequila, and well, the swirly straw is in the dishwasher. Yeah. And then, it's a minute past 8, and we've still got $110 to go in our evening fundraising, but that's a hell of a lot better than having $200 to go. Thank you to our subscribers, and thank you to the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Stan. We've still got Ted Cruz to analyze, but I would rather go at this point in time over to line one, the Skype line, whatever we call it, and say, hey, welcome to the program. Hello? That would be you, area code 818. I know you're there. Hello? Huh. Lost the call. That was kind of weird. Maybe they'll call back. Ah, okay. A little explanation for somebody from somewhere, courtesy of Carol Baker, our explainer of the inexplicable. That nope business means she's too chicken shit to defend her position when she decides to nope out of the comments section. I've defended everything I've ever written. By the way, Carol says, I want the link. All right, somebody? She wants the link. Send me the link. I'll send it to Carol. Okay? Yeah, unmute. That, okay, let's see. How do they do this in professional for-profit radio? Let's try this again. Los Angeles, you're on the air. Oh, come on. Unmute. Okay, trying again. Los Angeles, you're on the air. I know I haven't broken anything here. At least I'm pretty sure. Hold on. Nope, nothing broken. No, it's working. All right,
can you
we
hear
will.
Me?
Hello?
Can you hear me, Bob?
I hear you now, Tracy. I didn't hear you before.
My God. I don't know what happened. I thought better. Okay. Hi, hon. How to help freeze, because you sound a little distressed. But who is this person with the blog? What is her issue? That if I. So that. Wait. Hold on.
The trouble begins.
Wait. First of all, is she black?
Wait. Are we talking about Courtney Enslow or whatever?
Yeah.
The girl.
I think you call her. Did you call her Black Ann Coulter?
No. Black Ann Coulter is a different story. She's the one who said on Fox that black folks vote slavishly for Democrats.
Ooh.
And I mean, I guess she's black.
Oh, see, it's these. Okay, so I'm not even going to touch that one because, see, I'm having a pretty decently good day, and I'm not going to. I made homemade apple maple sausage today.
What?
Okay, I broke out the stand mixer and attached the meat grinder. And I made, not in the casing. I'm not there yet.
The casing ain't easy.
And I watched the YouTube videos and I'm like, you know what? I don't need the casing.
I am perfectly capable of placing this sausage in a skillet and frying out of it.
It's absolutely, and I did it with coconut oil. I had apples and onions and garlic, and smoked paprika, and what else? Fresh cut chopped parsley and all that, and I made chicken apple maple sausage.
Whoa.
Yes, I did.
Say, keep that bedroom open.
Yeah, see, this is why I hardly get, you know, like the day before, I did zucchini noodles as noodles. I did that.
From scratch?
And I made just do it's one of those gadget thingies that you buy for like.
Oh, no. I know from the gadget thingy, but still. That's a far sight more labor involved than, say, you know, going to the. Going down to the organic grocery and picking up some zucchini noodles.
No, I'm not going to do all that. But yeah, this is what I did with that. I made a raw salad with that, and I did, it was a caprese. So I had, you know, chopped Roman tomatoes, again with the garlic, shredded mozzarella cheese, fresh basil, and my dressing was fresh lemon juice, with garlic, salt, and pepper, and olive oil.
Tracy bringing the Titanic Tuesday food porn.
And then, of course, I had grilled chicken. So I'm trying to lose weight. You know, and happy belated birthday, by the way, love.
Oh, thank you.
And, I'll be 50 this year, so I'm trying to lose 50 by 50.
That's damned admirable.
Yeah, it's just a goal. You know, I started with this like the other day. I made for breakfast. I did the zucchini. I mean, instead of doing the zucchini the other day for breakfast, I did sweet potato noodles, which I, you know, kind of put with some cumin, paprika, cinnamon, salt and pepper, sauteed in olive oil until it was crisp.
Woo!
And I wilted kale. And with a fried egg.
You know, Carol Baker points out that for moments like this, we really do need a track of some food porn music to go in the background. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just kind of get that. Just kind of get that going kind of low in the background.
No, it is so funny because, okay, so I've been eating pretty clean for the last few days. Now, let me tell you.
Well, wait, I have to interrupt you because I have a note from Jennifer in Australia asking, Tracy, do you and Jan have kids? Are you looking to adopt?
I have a 27-year-old son that lives with me, and if you moved in before Tim, there might be a ruckus. There might be.
No, that's the whole thing. There's a line. I mean, it's a whole take a number thing. I mean, we got Tim, we got me. Now Jennifer's in line. You know, Jesus God.
No, it's just I got in this mood. I decided I'm going to start cooking more. So I went to the store and I bought all this chicken. So like I said, I broke out the stand mix, the KitchenAid stand mix.
Oh, aren't those things? I'm sorry. As machines goes, those things are just sexy.
Let me tell you.
I've got my KitchenAid. I never got my sausage grinder or my pasta maker. God, I want them. I still want them.
Let me tell you, go on eBay. You can find a few. Let me tell you. Let me tell you how I got my.
Yeah, but see, you got to be careful about getting a used meat grinder, Tracy, because
that's true.
I mean, you know what happened to the butcher who backed up into the meat grinder, right? He got a little behind in his work.
Yeah, okay. You're right. Yeah, I got you. But let me tell you, Bob, if you ever get a chance, let me tell you how I did got my KitchenAid in the first place. As everybody knows, I drive a cab, and I have wanted a KitchenAid stand mixer ever since I was a little girl with the Easy Bake Oven, the whole 9 yards. Cooking has always been something for me, but never in a million years did I ever come from a family that would ever, you know, be able to afford such a thing. That's for white people on TV, okay? So, a few years back, JCPenney's had it on sale, and you know, those usually about $400. And I'm like, well, they had it on sale for $250 with a $50, $100 rebate or something crazy, something that within my realm. I worked, I think, 2 days straight or whatever, and I stayed out and worked until I made the money to buy that stand mixer. I was on a fucking mission. Do you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm there.
I was on a mission, and let me tell you, I love, and it's Empire Red, Bob. It is the most, because you know, it comes with the silver bowl. I bought the glass bowl. What I do is every time I would get a really good, you know, like a 20% off coupon for Bed Bath & Beyond, that's when I would buy my accessories. There in Macy. So the accessories I have in the box that I bought, it comes the box has the meat grinder, the pasta maker, and also the slicer shredder. That came in that one box. And then I also have the ice cream maker.
Oh,
You've
got the ice cream maker?
I got the ice cream maker, Bob.
Damn.
Yes, I do. And see, the thing that I've done with the ice cream maker, and see, I have a really small freezer. So the only problem with the ice cream maker is problematic because you have to keep it in the freezer for 12 hours. I have a very small freezer. So there's no spontaneity when I do ice cream. But, you know, when we move, we're going to be those people, yes, that have to refreeze the freezer in the garage. I will be that person. And I will keep my ice cream maker in the freezer at all times. So whenever I have the urge to make ice cream, and let me tell you.
Fried shrimp taco ice cream. Pistachio ice cream, shrimp etouffee ice cream. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I made pumpkin ice cream 1 year for Thanksgiving.
No, not you. Not you too, Tracy. No, you cannot. No, 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 No pumpkins. No.
Let me tell you. No, let me tell you. It was just. See, here's the thing about me. I don't go in for, you know, trainings and fads and stuff. But when I have the urge to do something, and I'm like, I made vanilla. Don't get it twisted. I made vanilla and I made strawberry, and I had enough space to make pumpkin. And I have to say, Bob, I have to say, I was shocked. You know, I make batches. I make only small batches of stuff, so if it's gross, I won't have made a huge batch and have to throw it away. So I make small batches, and then when it's wonderful, then I continue on. So I made the pumpkin ice cream, and I have to say, Bob, it was magical.
You know, I mean, like candied yam ice cream would probably be really good.
And like the yams that I made the other day, like I said, because I look at the recipe and I'm like, dude, what could I do to kick it up a notch? So it called for, you know, this, you know, salt, pepper, and paprika. And I'm like, you know, yams, you have to do some brown sugar. You have to throw cinnamon and nutmeg in it. It's just something not right if you don't put cinnamon and or nutmeg.
Well, that's why maybe a little allspice. I mean, but at that point in time, cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, and vanilla, and you know that's the holy grail of white girls everywhere. That's pumpkin pie spice. That's pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice. That's
like I want a pumpkin spice latte. Okay.
Okay.
I love those.
I like those. It's like the pumpkin spice latte. And, you know, the gingerbread latte.
Wait a minute. Wait. You have offended the basic sensibilities of Carol Baker. She said, did she say throw away ice cream?
No. Gingerbread ice cream.
No. You said if it doesn't work out, we'll just throw it away. I heard you say it.
No. Not throw it away. I just don't make a big batch of it. I'll still eat it. I mean, there's very few things that I will throw away. No, and I care. I'm sorry. I make small batches because then I'm the only one that's obligated to eat it because, like, with the, okay, my family, I made the turkey apple maple sausage. Made that this morning. And the wife was like, well, you know, it's good. But I'm like, do you know how I slaved to cut up those damn apples and those onions and all this? But I don't like sweet. And I'm like, bitch, this coming from a woman who drools over my pig candy? Seriously?
Well, see, one of the advantages of living out here in Hillbilly Hell is that we have lots and lots and lots, at a certain time of year, high summer, we have lots and lots and lots of wild, fresh blackberries and raspberries. I mean, there are raspberries that grow along the side of the road as big as the first joint of your thumb.
Nice.
And one of the things that I've done in the past that was absolutely beloved, a whole bunch of blackberries, and you sit there, you wash your blackberries, rinse them and everything, and kind of let them drain dry, and put them in a bowl, put a ton of sugar over them, and you know,
cream.
And no cream, just let them you know, form that. The scent, that basic sugar syrup that fruit and sugar does, and yeah. then
like
I use you can, yeah, like you do with strawberries, but then make blackberries and cream ice cream. Because I have a never fails no cook ice cream recipe that my parents used back when we were still, you know, hand cranking and stuff.
You ever say it's a hand crank? I'd rather have a hand crank, to tell you the truth.
No, not unless you got somebody do cranking. Because, I mean, it's one thing to just sit there and go nir, while it's still liquid. Time. When it starts firming up, no, that's work.
Yeah, that's work. That is work. I remember the first time I made ice cream with a hand crank.
Like most of the electric, so we went electric, and most of the electric ice cream freezers I'm aware of, you know, they'll make a half gallon of ice cream.
Right.
And so what we use is like 4 cans of Eagle Brand milk.
Of course.
And you dissolve that in half and half. Well, you know, you dissolve that in half and half, and, you know, half whole milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then add your fruit in and whatever, put it in the ice cream freezer. You've engaged in precisely zero labor, and you get some of the most stunning ice cream you've ever eaten.
Well, Have I ever told you what I use for my base for my mac and cheese? We'll have to do that off air because I don't want too many people to.
Because that'll get dirty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to do that off air. But I did have to say, it involved half and half heavy whipping cream, and that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's already nasty. the other fun thing is with that Eagle Brand milk and half and half thing, add in some orange juice and throw in a can of crushed pineapple, and make orange pineapple ice cream.
See, this is why I call every so often, because she's starting to kind of overwrought with the crazy woman going on about Bernie. And I'm like, it's time for food
porn. Yeah, and yes. Apparently I'm not the only one. I mean, somebody from somewhere was positively apoplexied by the I'm going to nope out of the comments for like ever.
Yeah,
But somebody had the same idea I did when I saw nope out. She didn't just come up with that. Apparently, that's a thing somewhere in the internet, as somebody said.
In the interweb.
Yeah, have you ever? I'd never seen that until this evening, and I got a feeling I'm going to see it everywhere now.
This is what bothers me, and it's all about the debate and having a healthy debate. Moping out is basically what Republicans do. It's like.
I believe a woman has a right to choose what to do with the workings of her own body. Nope.
Nope. I believe that everyone should have health care. Nope. I believe that we should no longer subsidize the oil and coal industry. Nope. Because I don't want to talk about it. It was like Trump, if somebody says something he doesn't like, get him out of here. Honey, girl, you can't, as the president, you know, as the who you think you narcissistic megalomaniac, tear. Anyway, I'm not a wordsmith like you, but you probably got the idea. But I don't like what you have to say, so I'm going to stop my foot, point to my minions, and have you pushed out of the room. You're not going to be able to do that to Putin. And any other, or anybody else, you can't, just because you don't like what they're saying, it doesn't work that way, boo. You have to have a discussion. You can't just say, I don't like you, and because I'm Donald Trump, I don't have to talk. What is it that he said that, he said, I can commit murder and get away with it?
Yeah, in the middle of Fifth Avenue, no less.
Mm-hmm. Well, they showed your happy white ass in Iowa, didn't it? He actually kind of sounded contrite this morning.
Yeah, it didn't last. He blamed Iowa voters. He said that they didn't give him a chance and didn't give him credit for self-funding his campaign, and Ted Cruz is still a turd. He didn't say that part, but he got close enough, I honestly think the Democrats are kind of hanging back, hoping they actually nominate Ted Cruz, because then they'll just take it to court and win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so confident.
I'm not so confident either, but I just, like you said, sometime around mid-summer, late summer 2016, while we're thinking about, the Blackberries, you're out there with the Blackberries and I'm out here, celebrating my 50th birthday.
Yes, you will be.
It's going to be a come to Jesus meeting. We're going to actually have to have a come to Jesus meeting because our primaries are in June, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
mine's May 10th and yours is in June.
Okay. So, like I said, when the primaries hit in California, I will be casting my vote for Bernie Sanders. There will be no question as to who I am voting.
Right. Whether Hillary has already sewn it up or not.
Regardless of whether, exactly. Just own the principles of the fact that I just won't, it tickles me when I get, because I get emails from both from Bernie and from Hillary, and of course, I haven't sent money to either. I read some money to you, and there's other people. Oh, speaking of which, $50 challenge.
Oh, well, thank you.
I already sent money to you. there's enough people supporting Bernie and especially Hillary. But it tickles me when I
Well, I mean, George Soros gave Hillary $6 million.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't, when I see the poor Hillary emails, they're hilarious to me. And I'm just like, Hillary don't need my money. If I was going to, you know, like I said, if it came down to me supporting Bernie, you know, financially, if it was that close of a race that, you know, Bernie needed a couple extra dollars thrown his way by me, that'd be a whole different Magilla. But I just.
Oh, I want to see Bernie get past New Hampshire and win. Mm-hmm. And then I hope all kinds of people got $5 to help him in South Carolina.
Right. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. When it comes down to it, when it comes down to the nitty gritty, like I said, if it ever came down to the fact that, you know, me sending Bernie $5, like I did, you know, when I supported, you know, President Barack Hussein Obama. Like it tickled me when you said, I can't wait to see, say President Muppet.
And yeah, that was Steve's. He gets all the credit.
Uh-huh. And it's the same thing when I love to say, it gives me a thrill, and certain, I just get a tingling feeling when I say President Barack Hussein Obama. And it has nothing to do with whether, you know, that I'm a staunch supporter of the man. I am not. Have for never. So when it comes down to it, who was the, you know, what, Mitten and his magic underwear? When you said the underwear.
Right. All you got to do is say Vice President Sarah Palin, and you're all okay with Barack Obama all over again.
All over again.
Speaking of which.
Oh, no. Now, we had a nice thing going with the food porn. Are you going to throw in Sarah
Palin? I'm just going to wreck everything. I'm going to take this bus right into the ditch.
God damn you. Okay, go for it.
you want to rescind that $50 challenge, Tracy?
Yeah,
but we grandfathered Godzilla from Wasilla out of Moran Monday and Titanic Tuesday and prayer meeting. We grandfathered her out of the whole damn program.
Really?
But a long time ago.
Yeah, I thought we were done.
But she is so back after that right wing and bitter clinging. Barry Friedman, who is a really, really sharp, witty, bright, funny, smart guy out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I don't know. I think Bart Kopp's spirit transmigrated into Barry when Bart left Tulsa. Although Barry was smart, sharp, funny, and witty before then. But Barry Friedman said today, well, how about that? Sarah Palin did exactly for Donald Trump what she did for John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. You know, she's the kiss of death. But here's, so she shows up on a CNN program being interviewed with Jake Tapper. And I don't know if they let you carry a hockey puck with you when you drive, Tracy.
Well, I do actually, because you know the kid that I drive around, he's a hockey player, so I can just say, "Yo,
got one in the glove box." Cool, yeah.
Yo, Will, pass me a fucking hockey puck.
So you know she's so back. This will only take a couple of minutes, but it should be worth a couple of screams.
Oh.
It is Titanic Tuesday.
You gonna go down with the ship on this one, or what?
The votes of and the positions of Senator Cruz. Donald Trump is somebody who has clearly had different positions on issues that he has today, including an issue very near and dear to your heart, the issue of abortion and life. Have you talked to him about that? He used to be, he called himself very pro-choice. Now he says he's very pro-life. Have you talked
about
it? I
am so glad that Mr. Trump has seen the light and understands the sanctity of innocent life and how a baby in the womb should be most protected. What has been kind of sad about the situation, though, politically speaking, are groups that are pro-life and they want to bring more people into the fold. They've given Trump a hard time for his past views on abortion, where they're celebrating others, like I was going through a list, like Justin Bieber and
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, who has made statements understanding the sanctity of life, but in the past he said he was no big deal to him, you know. He's just one example. But I've heard that these same groups celebrate people who have, I've been to their fundraisers, I've spoken at their events, and there's usually someone in the crowd, every single one of these crowds, who will testify to having seen the light, you know, to understand, oh, I get it, that God has created life with purpose. And
so you believe Mr. Trump when he says he's...
And then to see that they're celebrated, but for political reason, Mr. Trump is condemned for changing his views to the right side. Yeah, that's politics.
See why I brought her back? See why I allowed her back in, Tracy?
Wait, Justin Bieber?
Justin effing Bieber. Role model. No, wait. That's Justin. Justin Bieber role model.
This is that little bitch who lives up in Calabasas, who ate people's houses and almost got his ass whooped last year, because he was doing like donuts and speeding up and down the street and almost hit somebody's kid. And I think it was a basketball player, I forget who it was, who almost mollywhopped his ass. He's a role model now?
Yeah, that would be your role model.
Justin fucking Bieber. You know, there's a couple of people that need to go back to Canada. Oh, speaking of Canada.
Yes?
So, I think I told you the guys the story, you know, because everybody knows my story about, you know, how many years ago, let's see, 1999, when I was wrongfully convicted of a felony, blah, blah, blah. And then secretly did not realize that you could not go into Canada with a felony and almost got deported out of Canada.
What?
Because I have a felony. I didn't know you cannot go into Canada, regardless of how long ago the felony was, you cannot go into Canada with a felony. I mean, it's up to the border guard, but he was being a dick. Thank you. In order for me to go to Canada, there's this whole thing that I have to go through. I really want to go to Canada, but do I really want to go to Canada? I have to petition. I have to do this, like, this long thing about why, how I've been reformed, what I've done since. Okay, this is 1999, and had I had a real lawyer, that we wouldn't be having this conversation, but I had a public defender, yada, 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 yada. He to Hugh. Like I said, I didn't even realize there was an issue because I've been to London, I've been to Paris, and just got back from a cruise and went to four different countries. Nobody tripped. And I'm like, Canada? Really? So anyway, I have to get letters there. A recommendation saying that I'm a wonderful, amazing human being. Oh my God. And on top of all that, it's going to cost me $200 Canadian, which is going to be refundable, by the way, you know, and send them this petition that's like 50 pages of paperwork that I have to send in and all this stuff and $200. And there's no guarantee that they're saying, okay, well, we can, they have to say that I've been rehabilitated. And like, it all depends on who gets my file. It's so arbitrary. And I really want to go to Canada, but do I really want to give them $200 Canadian and shoot the dice? I don't know. Canada is pretty, isn't it?
Lovely. Absolutely beautiful. Maybe we could get one of the Canadian contingent of the Horn Family Commune Congregation to like sneak you in rolled up in a rug in a trunk. All Cleopatra-like.
All Cleopatra. It's so funny because I, you know, my church is having a general conference in Canada in July, and I started the paperwork and everything, and I just, it's with all the other stuff that's going on in my life, you know, and then I've come to find out it could take 2 to 3 years before they make a decision. Yeah, it's a process, and And it's my fault for not doing it.
What is it? Something about this that reminds me of Alice's restaurant, where he says, "You're asking me if I'm more. You're asking me if I'm moral enough to go and kill people after being convicted for littering."
Right. Basically, that's it. It's like, wait a minute. you know, they run a whole listing of everything. Here's the best part. They want me to go back since I was 18. Now, like I said, I'll be 50. And remember, every place I've worked since I was 18. And every place that I've lived since I was 18. I'm like, I don't remember every place I worked. Hell, I barely remember what I used to. One morning, I was so tired. This is stupid. I don't know if I was tired or my age or what. So I'm stumbling in the bathroom, you know, pulling myself together. I go to reach for the deodorant. Now, I have aerosol deodorant. Well, it's not aerosol, whatever, but it's spray. And then right next to that was the Febreze. Yes.
No.
I caught myself. But because I'm like, oh, and the only reason why I caught myself is because the trigger for the Febreze is different than the trigger for the... The trigger for the
yeah, because it's got that Formula 409 trigger, doesn't it?
Right, and yeah. Then the deodorant was a push, and that's where I caught myself. I'm like, holy crap! I almost caught myself for some reason. It's like. If you're talking to a person, you want a person who almost used for
Oh, no. No. Okay, so take it easy. don't be too hard on yourself. Agnes and I were sitting there doing our best Mike and Carol Brady impression in bed the other night when she read me this story of somebody who made brownies, but instead of using non-stick spray, thought that the words easy off... It meant that the brownies would come right out.
See, at least I was only violating myself. I wasn't violating brownies.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, up in Vancouver, Brother Deacon Asa says, "Well, hell, I'd give Tracy a ride." And you know, and just in case you're wondering, you know why Canada probably has that law?
Why?
Because the U.S. has that law. Canada is behaving reciprocally.
Right. But the thing is, the problem is with Canada, here's the thing about the Canadian law. Even if I have my record, say I got expunged or even a pardon, they still wouldn't take it. I would still have to prove that I am worthy to enter into Canada. And also, if the Canadian punishment for the law that I broke, or whether it was convicted of, is harsher. Like I said, it's a crapshoot. And I'm like, so here's my thing. All my Canadian friends, if you guys want to write me a letter that I can send to your government and say, we won't mind our coming. We've heard her talk. She's sorry. Well, okay. There's this thing, and it's so funny. Do I regret what I did? Because I didn't do anything wrong. I did what I was supposed to do on my end. I'm just one of those people that got caught up in, you know, bureaucracy. And it also made me remember, it was not long after the O.J. Simpson acquittal. So the L.A. County District Attorney wasn't all that happy, and they were trying to Gil Garcetti was the district attorney at the time. He was not happy with his record of stuff, you know, of acquittal, so he was going after people. So, you know, it was so he didn't have that high conviction rate. So, you know, it's all these things, when, you know, in hindsight, when you look back, because tonight on Fox FX or FX, you know, it's the People versus O.J. Simpson, that miniseries start, which looks pretty scarily good. I'm thinking back on my life in 1995. Has it been really that long? Isn't that frightening that it's been over 21 years?
Yeah.
I think, you know, that happened. But this morning, you know, like I said, my favorite channel that I go to wake up and go to sleep on, the Murder, Death, Kill channel. And that's
yes. You got a lot of laughs out of that.
Why people gone wild, I tell you. So this morning I woke up to it, and it was talking about the O.J. Simpson trial murder, you know, trial of the century. And they didn't, there was no, there was just, you know, clips of the trial. And, you know, I had forgotten about this. And what I woke up to was Johnny Cochran questioning Mark Furman. And because I never, I swear that I did not watch the trial at all because I didn't care, because O.J. was never black. O.J. found out he was a nigga when he killed the white woman, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yes, and the whole idea that, there's a, now a 10-part miniseries about it, with and that Cuba Gooding Jr., a fine actor, I guess was so in need for work that, well, I'm just shut up.
Right. Well, you got John Travolta. You got, I mean, I'm not sure. I love Courtney B. Vance, so I'm looking to see how he channels Johnny Cochran. But, you know, so I did not, you know, those things that, like I said, I did not watch the trial. And so I did not realize that when Johnny Cochran questioned Mark Furman about, you know, the different things about the gloves, and I, you know, I will not answer, take plea in the fifth. He would not answer one question. And then they wonder, and then you got to think about what L.A. was in 1995. We had, it was a year after the Rodney King, you know, and the L.A. uprising and all these things. And what L.A. was in 95. And you had video evidence of these police officers beating the holy crap out of Rodney King, and nothing happened to him. And then you have a racist cop who was never charged or anything sitting there saying, I'm not going to answer these questions. And then they wonder why they lost. They wonder why he was acquitted, whether he did it or not. Would you, if you were on the jury, forget about the preponderance of evidence. I mean, and I know you went to law school, so, but if you were just a regular person who had seen, you know, all this stuff, I mean, again, I don't remember the trial because I didn't watch it, but to hear that the first person on the scene more than likely planted evidence or what have you, what would you have done? Even if he did it, he might have done it. I don't know. The only person that's alive to know whether he did it or not is O.J. Simpson. I don't know. But what grabbed me, was, like I said, there was no voiceover. It was just a trial. And then, you know, so they have to, you know, fast forward after the, you know, and Johnny Cochran does the summation and all that. And then you fast forward to the next day when they only deliberate for 4 hours. Again, these little things that I didn't even remember. And, you know, they had all these, and I remember these scenes because I remember watching the news because I was at home. No, I was the only black person at my job at the time, and in Tarzana, and we were watching the news, and they said, you know, not guilty. And I'm watching the white people's reactions, their tears and their wringing of their hands and all of this.
Outrage.
The outrage. And then, again, this is 21 years later, and all that I could think of was every single black parent in the last, the last 20 years, or hell, just in the last two, and the outrage.
Well, that story that we had last night of the cop in Chicago who shot the 19-year-old young man with mental health issues, and killed his 55-year-old mother of five neighbor at the same time. The fact that he's actually going to sue the estate of the young man he killed for his emotional trauma.
Exactly. And so now,
outrage. Anybody? Bueller.
Outrage. Where's the outrage? Now, let me be very clear on this. I'm very clear on this. I feel horrible for Nicole Brown Simpson's family, for Ron Goldman's family, for all these, you know, but it looks like they're in the grand scheme of things, because I'm sorry. Nicole Brown Simpson's family pimped her out. They knew that Bear was beating on her. And see, he was there. he paid their way. They pimped her out. And so if he did kill her, it was guilt. Ron Goldman's father basically kicked him to the curb. He hadn't talked to his son in a few years. To me, it was all guilt. It's like, you guys screwed up, and now you got that guilt that it happened. So there's that. But the outrage, the white people just, they were crying and all this, and then they think, and they, like, a fast forward to 2016 to Black Lives Matter. And this community is devastated.
I just got a note from Marty. And Marty says, the only part of that trial I saw was the gloves not fitting. Incidentally, a former colleague of mine, a white woman, incidentally, also believes that O.J. wasn't guilty. She believes O.J.'s eldest was the guilty party.
His eldest son from his previous marriage?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because his kids, they were too young to do anything. I think they were still asleep when all that happened. But again, I don't know. I mean, I just, like I said, had I been on that jury, this is why I would never serve on a jury, because I just know me. And, you know, if it has anything to do with police brutality or anything like that, the cops did it. I'm sorry. The cops did it. The cops fucking did it. So, you know, I was getting ready this morning and I'm watching this, and it just gave me a good idea for a paper, because we have prior learning at Antioch, and one of the things you could do is talk about how an event that happened before, you know, you started at Antioch, shaped your life. And first I was going to do Rodney King, but it's a whole thing. It's a domino. You think of Rodney King and then OJ. I knew, that jury was never going to find O.J. Simpson guilty, whether or not he did it or not, because of just the climate that was happening in Los Angeles in 95. And I lived that. That is part of my lived history. And it's just so weird thinking about it. And like I said, there's those things that I don't think about. It's like when O.J. got convicted in Nevada. This is how I talk about how white people don't forget shit. I'm like, OJ, this is what would have happened had Tracy Porter been OJ Simpson. If I had gotten away with killing a white woman, nobody would have ever seen me again. I would have disappeared. They would have been, where's Tracy? I would have went.
Well, consider the more than 1,000 Native American women who are missing in the northern parts around the U.S.-Canadian border in Canada and the United States. I mean, it's at crisis proportions. Crickets.
Crickets. The outrage. Well, let's just talk about the same. You know who else died on the same day that Carl Brown Simpson died?
No.
Peter Jackson's ex-wife. Clear-cut case of murder. She was found floating in the pool very same day. Probably, Nicole Brown Simpson, it was early morning when they found her body. Hers was not that, it was the same day. She was deathly afraid, like terrified of water, okay? Why did they find her body floating in the pool? You didn't hear anything about that, did you?
Not so much, no. By the way, I just got a link. A lot of people will be watching American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. Yes. One person who will not be watching it is O.J. Simpson because...
O.J. Simpson, because he's in jail.
Not just because he's in jail, but the jail that he's in doesn't have FX. But the other thing, and this is one of those things that should be a part of a larger discussion about the prison industrial complex, which, let's do remember, really got up and got running, running on full steam under who?
Billy Boy Clinton.
Yep. And in point of fact, I've referenced it, but let me share the whole quote here. This is Hillary Clinton in 1996. they are not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heal.
Heal?
Heal.
As in bringing down dogs, as in heal?
Bring them to heal, just like, you know, you heal, Fido, heal! But anyway, one of the things that attends the way that we go about tormenting the people that we warehouse, who are disproportionately people of color, is that we make no attempt to meet anything resembling a responsible dietary need. We're warehousing people, and you know, if they die there, that's okay. So OJ's friend Tom Scotto says of OJ, he's very, very heavy. He's can you imagine this? Anybody who watched him play in the NFL, can you imagine this? OJ Simpson is over 300 pounds now after some years in prison in Nevada. He's very, very heavy, Tom Scotto said. He's gained a lot of weight. He eats commissary food, and it's all junk food.
I know what that food is. Remember, I was in jail, so I know it's bologna.
There is almost no nutritional value whatsoever. And yes, I know prison's not, you know, the hardcores and the authoritarians. Well, prison's not supposed to be fun. Well, you know, under our constitutional system, you're in the care, custody, and control of the Department of Corrections, and they have an affirmative duty not to poison you, not to kill you, and not to torture you. I mean, even though we live in post-Bush America. So, I mean, that says something all by itself. And Jack in Shreveport says, whenever I hear something about OJ, I think of the South Park episode with Kenny's go-go action Bronco. Oh, dear God. Was I the only one, by the way, Tracy, who thought about O.J. when I saw that slow-moving white vehicle going up the two-lane road in Harney County, Oregon, with Lavoie Finkham at the wheel?
No.
And I just want to take this moment to point out one more thing about Lavoie Finkham. Another little white privilege moment. They only shot him after he went for his gun the second time. He got to go for a gun once, and they were like, well, okay, he's going for... And then only when he reached for the right way, for where the gun actually was, did they shoot him. On the other hand, how many cases are there where young black men have been reaching for their ID in their wallet, and the cop just wastes them? Well, I thought he was going for a gun. Lavoie Finkham was going for a gun twice, and the first time they didn't shoot.
God bless America.
You know, I mean, yeah.
That's all I was to say. I just had to call. There was some food. There's some good old food porn.
I'm glad you did, and thank you very kindly for putting that $50 challenge on the table. Hopefully it will be responded to in the next 9 minutes or so. It would be awfully nice if it is. But you're awfully kind and awfully, awfully caring and awfully sweet. And
I have my
mom. Well, you do, and you know, pumpkin ice cream notwithstanding, which should never be thrown out. Had that not been clarified, Tracy... I think you would have had a real problem with Carol Baker.
Well, trust Carol, I would never throw
out. No. I mean, see, this is really tough on me because I can't remember the last time I had ice cream. I'm not really, really good at watching what I eat, but I try not to just spit in the face of diabetes. So... Yeah. But God Almighty, I think Kroger's is open late. I mean, you know, not a half a gallon or anything, but you know, maybe a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Maybe that Willie Nelson peach cobbler stuff that Ben and Jerry does. Oh, that's really good.
Are they making the Bernie's ice cream?
I looked for it on the shelf the other day. It is not here yet. Bernie's Yearning.
Oh, okay.
And what is that anyway? Have we?
From what I understand, it's ice cream, like vanilla ice cream. You remember those back in the day, the ice cream stuff that you, the topping that you put on top of the ice cream and it hardens.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. So there's like stuff that I forget what the flavor is, but there's chocolate ice cream or chocolate something on top of you crack it and you mix it in.
Let's see. Ben Cohen is describing it as a rich blend of chocolate and mint ice cream.
Okay.
No, it is. It's like what you're describing. When you open up the pint, there's this big disc of chocolate on the top covering the entire top, and below it is just plain mint ice cream. The disc of chocolate represents 90% of the wealth that's gone to the top 10% over the last 10 years. You take your spoon and you whack that big chocolate disc into little pieces and mix it around. There you have it. Bernie's Yearning. And damned if it doesn't sound pretty good.
I'm liking what you're saying.
Yes, of course. Marty says frozen yogurt, maybe. Although if you go for Ben and Jerry's, my favorite is Cherry Garcia. That and what don't I like? And then, well, there's a Häagen-Dazs that is coconut pineapple.
Yes.
And they also do a mango sorbet that's not quite so awful.
No, they did a
dulce
de leche also.
Ooh, wicked, wicked. And by the way, Carol says, forgiven, Tracy, forgiven.
Thank you. My life goes on. I don't know if I could just let go up to the rest of the night with Carol having issues, taking issue with me. But now I feel better.
All is right with the world now. Tracy, it's been a lovely conversation, and I'm glad you perked my evening. See, this is what happens when people come and hang out with me on the ledge. Just kind of sitting here, and, we don't flick our cigarette butts onto the Republicans below or anything.
I had to, because you were giving some community disconsolate.
As an added benefit, we get to talk about Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time. We get to talk about him on Prayer Meeting Wednesday, where he belongs. Although I saw the word earlier today, crucify.
Yeah, I saw that.
And immediately I just had I saw this cheering throng of Iowan Republicans screaming, crucify them, crucify them, crucify them, all while waving crosses and Christian flags. Disturbing, isn't it?
I just got a headache.
Well, I'm good for that. I'm good for that, Tracy. I'm good for that.
Well, whole family, we know what I said. Y'all take care. We got this. This is gonna hurt. It's gonna be. We'll make it through. I just hope enough people have enough sense not to not just to get Bernie doesn't get the nomination that they won't vote that will have them vote Ralph Nader, Al Gore.
Oh, dear God, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good thing about Bernie support is I think most of them don't have sense. They have enough sense to know that, if he doesn't get the nominee. Yes. I think they will know that they will still vote for Hillary regardless. But, there's that.
Exactly. Tracy, have a lovely evening and a safe drive.
I will. Y'all take care, until next time.
Absolutely, and holler next time you're making ice cream.
I shall.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
The one, the only, the incomparable Tracy, the lady cab driver in and around the 405 or the 721 or the 5 or something. Some major terrifying highway in Southern California. Thanks, everybody. It's time to get out of here. Titanic Tuesday has come to a close. Somebody from somewhere, I'm still waiting for that linky, because I get an abiding sense that Carol Baker wants to take a run at it. That poor blogger. Those poor bloggers. Thanks for the help to our subscribers this evening. Thanks to the marvelously coherent Diane from Kansas, Stan. And thank you, Tracy, for putting a $50 challenge on the table. If that gets met, we'll be pretty much done with fundraising for the evening. And that'll be even two nights in a row. We'll be better than even two nights in a row heading into prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow night. Thanks to all of you for sharing your precious finite time in this ongoing conversation. It's an inspiring little community that y'all have built here. It's amazing what you do that somebody like George Soros does not. Thank you. And of course, thanks go out to our all-volunteer staff. Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.